Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Yes. So we might give you a break. And stay in the Spirit with me. Because I can tell you this, He's going to heal at the end of the service. I didn't say pray for you. I said He's going to heal. Hallelujah. Jesus. I had breakfast yesterday morning with my wife's oldest brother and his wife, and they had flown down from Maine, and into Orlando, and with his son and his wife. And this brother is in his late 70s, oldest living brother, and was the oldest anyway. You'll enjoy this. So when I first met him, come into the family 46, 7 years ago, he wasn't serving the Lord. Somewhere the last several years, he gave his heart to the Lord and started serving. And he and his wife, they started watching these services, following them. Then a lot of things I could share, but I want to get to the point. So this past November, he started getting sick. I mean, this man, real smart guy, because he was one of the top managers at a paper mill, ran about 2,200 employees. But he gave his heart to the Lord and started watching us a number of years ago. And then in November, he got real sick. They didn't know why, and they went in and they said, "You have intestinal cancer. We don't think we can, we're going to try, but we don't know how much we can do." You know, they start their chemo and then they do their operations. And so he had 4 operations right away to try to save his life. 4 operations in a week's time. Major, going there to take out parts of it. And they said, "We're sorry. We couldn't get it all. It's in a place where we can't get it." So they sent him home. And through the years, he had had cancer in different places of his body and beat it each time. Well, this time they said, we can't do anything else. No more chemo. No more operations, because we can't get to it. So they sent him home, and within a couple, you know, right away, they said, "Do you want to stay here or go home?" In other words, he could pass there or at home. He said, "I want to go home." So they took him home. Then hospice comes in and, you know, set up hospice in the bed. And so we were calling, but he sent word through one of his kids, I believe. He said, would you tell Bronk that he's right?" He said, I saw him. "Would you tell him he's right?" I said, I want to hear this. And it was a vision. And you'd have to know this man to know that there's just no way he'd make up something like this. He's not even given to any of this. He wasn't around it. Any of our Christianese, he doesn't use because he's never been around it. But that vision is another story, and it's wonderful. But we called him, and we figured, based on what they were saying in his condition, maybe a few weeks. And he could hardly, you could hear his voice, but it was so weak. Hospice was coming in. And he said, I just laid there, and every night my kids, he's got a lot of property, and there's different houses, and some of his children live there, and he's got a lot of grandkids. But he said every night they'd come and gather in my room before I'd go to sleep, and we'd all pray together. Well, this is a miracle, because that family, that's a miracle in itself. He said, I'd talk to the Lord, but I couldn't get out of bed for 3 months, and if I even just tried, he said, I'd pass out, and I'd wake up. I didn't know how long I'd be laying there. He was dying. And they said, you know, the hospice was coming every day, trying to make him comfortable for his, I guess they thought. And Candy and I, because he talked like, I wanted to find out what his will was, and the best I could ascertain was that he was ready, and this was it. But he wasn't giving up. There was a little bit of fight in him. And so I'd get off the phone with Candy at times. I'd say, well, we can fly up there before Christmas. And I even talked to some of his kids, I think, about, did they want me to come up and do the memorial right away? And they said, no, you can do it in the spring, because we won't even be able to do anything. The ground's so hard. He said, this was really amazing. He said, we were praying, so I know that we were having an effect. But he said, there was a night or a service that your church had anointed a handkerchief, and you all prayed for me in unison. And he said, right then. Now again, this guy don't make up stuff like this, because he's never been around stuff like this so much. He said, right then, something happened. From that moment on, something changed. So he began to at least want to get out of bed. And they said, no, the hospice said, you can't get out of bed. You can't even try. Well, when they were gone, when they would leave, he sent his oldest or one of his daughters out. He said, I used to have an old, you know, he's a mountain man, really great shape before all this. Intelligent mountain man. And he said, I had that old walking stick I carved out of some kind of something. He said, go out there in the barn and get that for me, would you? Well, she did, and he said, when nobody necessarily was looking, I'd pull myself up on the edge of the bed and take that stick and try to get up. And he said, sometimes like I'd pass out back into bed, and then I'd wake up. But he said, I finally was able to get out of bed one day, and then I walked around the room just a little bit, came back and fell over. Then the next day, he said, and I would have to do this with nobody, because they wouldn't let me do this. The next day or so, within a few days, I walked out into like the living room area. And he said, then after a while, I got to feel enough that I went outside, and then one day, hospice drove up when he was outside and said, what in the world are you doing out here? Because he was gathering firewood. They said, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. He said, well, I can do if I want to. And so he just kept getting stronger and stronger until he was able to make it out to his old barn and his shed out there. Well, I mean, this is not a poverty-stricken man. He's well off, but he made it out there. He said, I felt more normal, more me sitting under my barn. And he just talked to Jesus all day long, all day long. And then he said, I finally got so feeling so good. He said, I think I'll take me a drive. And they said, they found out that he drove, and they said, you can't drive. And he said, I can too if I want to, because I'm feeling good enough now. Well, anyhow, he was supposed to be gone before last year. And I had breakfast with him yesterday, and he said, I'm just feeling good and really good. And he said, hospice told me, I said, I asked him again, because all he wanted to talk about was Jesus. And then this is a man that you just couldn't believe. He wanted to talk about Jesus and the power of God. And he said, hospice told me last week, he said, they came to me and they said, our team has evaluated. He said, it looks like we're going to have to cut you off. He said, you know, they said, because, you know, you got to be far enough along. He said, Mr. Bean, it looks like we're, what? Yeah, I'm graduating. Yeah, you have to. He said, it looks like we can't, you know, do anything else for you right now. We're going to cut. I said, they're going to cut you off. He said, they're going to cut me off. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. But he said something changed when we all prayed that day and anointed that prayer cloth. So I hadn't had a chance to physically, so we walked out in the parking lot of that little, I don't know how many of you ever get a chance to go to the farmer's market restaurant. That's an old one, but it's got the best breakfasts in the world. So we walked out in that area, and I didn't care who was out there. But the whole family, or Candy's other brother had come, and his wife and older daughter. And we had some grandkids with us. Well, I said, we talked for a bit, took some pictures. And I said, I want to lay hands on you. Absolutely. So Candy and I lay hands on him, and I'm praying, and I just, power of God, so strong. I mean, real, real strong in that parking lot. He's wanting to talk about Jesus, so we're, see you later. He's going to, his other brother, Candy's younger brother, is going to drive him back to Orlando, he and his wife, so they can be with their son and catch a flight sometime in the next couple days. So I'm getting into my truck, and they're getting into their truck, and he comes running back over there, and before we leave, he said, I got to tell you something. He said, I want to tell you something else. He said, when you were praying for me during that prayer, he said, Shirley, that's his wife, I don't know where she was standing. I should have thought about praying for Shirley because she's had some health issues, but I didn't even think about praying for her. I just prayed. He said, Shirley's scheduled for knee surgery. And he said, while you're praying, he said, her knee popped and her leg straightened out. She got a miracle. So I'm driving away rejoicing in that. And I don't know, my mind wasn't even trying to think of this. It wasn't like a Rolodex. I'm trying to figure out something. I didn't even equivocate it as the Lord to start with. It just came. And then I said, okay, I understand now. He said, the thought came, and then I knew it was him after he said, "Peter's shadow." I said, "What? What?" He said, "Peter's shadow." He said, "You weren't even praying for her. But what was in you, she was close enough." Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I'm a little bit full. Would you stand and just worship God with me? Well, you can enjoy just a few minutes together, and don't lose your spiritual composure. We'll do a couple of things at once. The kids can also be dismissed at this time. And if you have something to bring this morning, bring it down. And tell Miss Rosie happy birthday, too. Today's her birthday. She's just awful pretty for 29 years old. So, hallelujah. We love you. Stay with us. There's a lot more to come. Amen. God bless you. Well, the greatest miracle that you'll ever have happen to you has already happened to you if you've been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." It wasn't necessarily change in address, or you didn't drop 20 pounds. What became new is that you became a new creation. On the inside, a new creation as DNA. If you could see your spirit man or woman, in that sense of the word. Well, there's no gender. That's right. Sexually, there's no gender. But if you think we're going to get to heaven and be blobs, we're not. Women will have the appearance. Mama will still look like mama. Candy won't be my wife, where we'll set up housekeeping like we are now. But she'll still be a beautiful specimen of a woman that God created. But the new creation was that you, your spirit person that looks just like you, was instantaneously changed. The best testimony of that is the one that my associate gives. The instantaneous change. Your appetites change. Your whole being changes. The ugly, grotesque, putrid, foul, stinky person that you once were instantaneously is changed. It goes through instantaneously. Two things happen. According to Romans 6, there's an instantaneous death. It's not like that he doesn't renovate. He doesn't renovate the old. He completely kills it. Now that, thank God that he kept all this in the invisible realm. The greatest miracle, get this, I love it. The greatest miracles, which were the invisible, are the invisible ones, because it takes it out of our senses. Arms growing out, or legs growing out, or blind seeing, that's all on the outside. So what stands in our way is not his power, but our senses that are still wrestling, even subliminally, with doubt. Can he do it? But when you can't see something, And you just have to take it by faith. That's why it's easier for that to take place, the greatest miracle, because you can't see it. That ugly person that you once were instantaneously is changed. And it's changed. It dies according to Romans 6. There's an instantaneous death. That person is Namas. As Duran said to Sugar Ray, Namas. It no longer exists. It is completely. He doesn't renovate it. He kills it. It's extinguished. And then another human spirit, same. It's still you, but it's totally recreated in the life of God. As amazing as that is, that's his DNA. And John tells us, 1 John tells us that God's in there. But how's he in there? Pastor Dave used to say it like this. Born again is something that happened to you. Baptism is something that happened besides for you or externally you, but it happens internally as well, of course. Just like my two daughters carry my DNA, I carry now the DNA, my born again spirit is the DNA of my Father in heaven. I have the Spirit of Christ. But here's the amazing part. Just because my spirit was created in his life doesn't mean the baptism or the Holy Spirit in his fullness is resident there until I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. My DNA didn't cause... That's something else. How can I describe this? Enough of God stepped in at, will you come in, and recreated, however he did it, created a DNA spirit of that now loves righteousness. But he didn't fill it up. He just created it. Now, it can live 120 years and refuse to sin just based on that DNA. But the Holy Spirit himself did not step in there, in that spirit, and fill it up until you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The start is the most fantastic, which is you're born again. You can live 120 and resist sin. But how much did we need him? Jesus said, you will receive power, dunamis power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So go wait. Did it make a difference? Oh my, here's a man that just 10 days earlier, just about 10 days earlier, well, three on top of that, I guess, Passover plus Pentecost. Anyway, 10, 12, 14 days, Peter, I'm talking about, denied him three times. He's timid. He's scared. He's running for his life. And then 5 minutes after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he stands up and, hey, all of y'all, Pharisees, anybody watching, I don't care anymore. Come and get me. Kill me if you want me. Take me. Because now he has the boldness. You'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, can a good Baptist boy lay hands on the sick and use the name of Jesus and Jesus come? Yes, he will. But the power is not resident. He'll come because of the name and because of what he did. But the power is not resident. That dunamis power is not resident on the inside until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, what other benefits? One, you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. After you begin to speak with new tongues. Well, I got it. I got the Holy Ghost. You don't argue with him. Only Christ. I got the Holy Ghost when I got, you got him in a, all I can say is a measure. He just stepped in. There's just enough of him to create that DNA, but he didn't fill you up. Baptism means immersed, but he wants to step in and baptize you. What would be the benefit? Well, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost would come upon you. You can't find that in leading up all of Christ, 30 years, was he, we say born again. He was always born of the Father. He always had that life. But for 30 years, he never touched anybody, raised anybody. No doubt, Joseph, you can't prove this by Scripture, but Joseph wasn't around. He had to stand by and watch his earthly father perish. Why didn't he lay hands on him? He didn't lay hands on anybody. He didn't speak to anybody. People died around him all the time. But there was a day in Jordan's River that he not only was water baptized, he was Holy Ghost baptized. And when he was Holy Ghost baptized, he come out of the wilderness and watch out. Hallelujah. Power. Didymus power. Well, Romans 8 says, sin shall not have dominion. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What kind of condemnation? Condemnation of sin. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. But there's actually four intercessors in Romans 8, it talks about that this creation is making groanings. It's an intercession. It doesn't like the fallen state that it's in. All creature, it says creature, but it's creation. But then it says our spirit groaneth within us, waiting to wit, the adoption of our bodies, or the change, the transformation, the adoption of sons, which is the transformation. So our spirit is crying out. Our spirit is crying out. But then by the time you get to 26, it says, likewise, like what? Like the previous examples of intercession, likewise the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I can resist sin by the DNA, but I cannot give myself over. Example I'm giving. I can't give myself over to him who steps up to the plate and says, I'll intercede for you. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but in the Spirit. Howbeit, he speaketh what? Mysteries, which are divine secrets. So one, I get power. Secondly, I get him interceding for me. Thirdly, I get him speaking mysteries. What are mysteries? Divine secrets. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful? There's a dialogue of mysteries going on between my spirit and Father God and the Lord Jesus in heaven. By the way, he's the fourth in Romans 8. He also, Jesus, is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Remember what Dave used to say? He'd say, it's not legal, but you almost feel sorry for the devil with all that God's equipped us with. So we have this power in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. This present, not just a testimony, but the vessel is filled with power to preach the gospel, then the intercession and the groanings, which the devil doesn't know. He doesn't know. That's why until you open, and let's say until we open our big mouths and really start complaining, it's all right to get a prayer request out. But he doesn't know how much effect he's having until we squeal a lot. But the intercession, it's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the body earlier in 8. And we know that that's not the Holy Ghost, but he's talking about it's through the Spirit. Our born again spirit is the one that first stands up and says no to sin. Or stands for us in our afflictions, our hurts, our wounds, whatever. But then the Holy Spirit in 8:26, he likewise makes intercession for us. In other words, he stands up for us along with our spirit and makes groanings for us. So that he's also, so praying in tongues is an endowment with power, intercession for us. It's also praying the mysteries, and then it's a mortification. That's why it crisscrosses with fasting, because tongues is mortification. You got your spirit that's already instantaneously mortified. It'll stand up. But if a flesh comes along and says, oh no, I know you're born again, but isn't she pretty? Well, yes, she is. But the only thing is, she's not your wife. There's just so much of an acknowledgement that you make in that direction. But if there's different things in your life, the Holy Spirit will stand up and he'll begin to mortify those things. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're filled with the Spirit? But you know what? You need all four. We talk about around here a four-legged stool. I might show you a prop here in a minute, but maybe. My four-legged stool is this. First, what's seated on it, or what's the cruxible of it all, is that you've been born again. But the first thing that Jesus said that you need, go and tarry. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Then we didn't even mention number 5 of the benefits according to 1 Corinthians 14. And in there, we could go to those scriptures and prove to you that it's a revelation gift. The more you pray in tongues, revelation knowledge begins to unfold. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if I could go back through them all. There's at least 5 or 6 benefits to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. How you doing up there, Harry? Let's pick on fasting for a minute. Praying in tongues. No, let's pick on worship. We'll go back to fasting. I don't want to talk about fasting. It has the power of suggestion. You'll be wanting to run out the door. Private worship. Hasn't he been saying a lot in the last couple of years about come away with me? When Jesus spoke to the woman at Samaria at the well, he said, the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's found us. We're born again. And we could go into a whole bunch of scripture on worship and corporate worship. Worship really has at least 2 different legs. It has corporate worship, that which we created together. You know, that anointing that was here to start with, it's still here. It's just changed some. And that exhortation that came, and Homer said, that's the kingdom of God. That was created, that anointing was created by extended time of worship. That's corporate. But then privately, you can change your world that you live in presence, because presence, worship, private worship brings presence. Now, it's not always a honeymoon. There's a lot, sometimes some dry times, right? But if you won't give up, it's not that he'll come, you'll press past your flesh and presence. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Baptize you so that when his presence comes, here's the complementary or the overlying of presence and present worship. It has something to do with your faith too. It'll energize your faith. Because once you begin to get in his presence, you remember that whole story, and I won't go through it. But once presence came, that day that I was going home and that Hispanic guy and the black guy came up and one of them was healed, or the presence of God came, and they both felt that presence. Well, I didn't feel any different, but that presence was on me. And evidently it was almost like another one of those shadow of Peter kind of deals. But it has an incredible. I'm remiss to say this because I want to accentuate the positive so much, but I have to give to you that are mature how important it is. Because I can see that, and I knew even going into this, if he had anything that he'd want to accentuate how important all four limbs are. All four limbs. Worship is incredible. But we haven't even gotten to the word yet. We'll say something about that in a moment. And we haven't even gotten to fasting. We'll say something about that in a moment. But praying in tongues is a staple. You can do that anytime, all the time, as you drive, as you work, as you do whatever. But worship, especially private worship, is something that will bring you into intimacy. But let me lay a groundwork and say this. We teach four legs around here. Four pillars. How important they are to the born again. And it's so important for you watching, and so for us, if we're going to go all the way in, I mean all the way to where that water's not just ankle deep. Appreciate. This was great. I appreciate the extracurricular healing that took place yesterday when I didn't even know it. But that's only ankle deep. I want to get out here. And I want to get out here. I want to swim in this river. Whew. Go under. Hallelujah. He's so mean. The devil, you know. He's so mean. If he can trick you, he will. If he can just get you lopsided on one and think that's the one. He's so tricky that even if he finds good intentions and he can't get you to go back to the bars, and maybe you never did that, if he can just get you to do one. And divorce from the rest. There were some boys, when I got broke in after following Pastor Dave for a while and saw some things like I testified about those guys, there were some young guys out in Tulsa that was attending church out there, and one particular, he'd call me all the time, actually came down here. But he got real big into worship, worship, worship. And I kept telling him, yeah, you can do that. Spend those You can, for a season, you can spend all day in worship if you'd like, but you got to go back to tongues and you got to go back to word. He wouldn't listen. Got real flaky. You know, if you just put all your eggs in one basket, got real flaky, left. I think some more left with him. Don't divorce yourself from any. Had one person, and I'll be nice, because a lot of you'll know, they had some personality dysfunctions when they first started coming here, and they just detested how much I taught on praying in tongues, how that it was a real fix-all in a lot of different ways. So they said, I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to, because I said, keep a diary if you want to see if I'm right or wrong, how many hours you pray in tongues, see if it affects your life. They actually came to the church so that I would see them to prove, because they were keeping a diary of their time. And then they said, after so many months, they wanted to come up and tell me, I'm as dysfunctional and as filled with pain, emotional pain now, as I was when I started. You're not right about this tongue stuff. Well, they were keeping that log. And then at the end of it, or not at the end of it, they finally, just after about 6 months, they said, my God, a freedom came. An absolute freedom came. Close the book. You're right, Pastor. Tongues works. It'll heal. Because he's making intercession. But you know that stupid devil. That same person got involved with some other people that were here. And they were going to see another group. It was close to us, but it wasn't us. Remember other groups, people, there can be some really, but watch out. So this group was all about worship, and mostly love. They started attending those seminars, and then they got a revelation. Their revelation, they finally told me, sitting in the trailer next door, they said, I found out. After now my journey in this direction, it never was about tongues. It was all about the love. And I said, well, yes, the end of everything is love. But tongues brought you there. And they said, no, now that I'm in love, in that special place of love. In essence, they said, I don't need tongues anymore. They left and they got real, real far out there. People, I've been born again. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep every single limb that he gives me. Worship is fine. It's perfect. It's going to bring me into presence, and that's what he's calling out. But I will not divorce myself from the paraclete, from the one who comes and makes intercession for me on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Don't ever put your... Well, what about fasting? Fasting is the same way. It has multiple purposes. We don't like it. Nobody really likes it so much in your flesh because it's abstaining from food, not abstaining from the shopping mall or fishing or your favorite show. That's abstaining. If you want to abstain in your fast, that's fine. Paul even said, no kids here, some teenagers. Paul even said it was acceptable and might be a really good thing to give yourself, husbands and wives, just to the Lord during that time. I don't have to say any more. But Matthew tells us one leg of Matthew 9. We won't go into all that. But we know that by the example of the wineskin, the question asked by John's disciples, why do we fast? They don't fast. And the whole thing, and we won't go into all that, is the preservation of your wineskin. Even after you're born again, he said, my disciples will fast. In other words, no, I don't need nothing but the born again nature. You don't know what you're talking about. Or else he would not have given us fasting for the wineskin. Because otherwise the wineskin has the potential, as long as you live in this body. Listen, I can, and I'm not, oh, I'm telling you that I pray always that this is count. Even after, it won't happen like from one service to the next or overnight. But you can lay hands on 1,000 people and have the shadow heal people. But if you don't keep walking in a mortification of the wineskin, your body's still your body. You can never ultimately kill it. You can keep it dead. That's why you have to live a lifestyle. Because what once was dead, it can grow back. You need to give your body 30 minutes in heaven before you say, whew, I'm free. Hallelujah. Old school, right? But good. But then there's another attribute of fasting. That's one. It's a mortification. What else is a mortification? Praying in tongues. But here's where they cross. Praying in tongues will help mortify. As he makes intercession, what's he making intercession about? Your weaknesses, strongholds. Amen. But then Pastor Dave used to say, if you want to pour some gas on the fire for mortification, push back from the table. Gary says, if you want to start an all out, just you want to pick a fight, you deliberately, not your flesh. You know, sometimes your flesh will come and it'll pick a fight. But if you ever come to a place where you want to pick the fight, I'm going to pick a fight with you, flesh, to see how far along I am. Push back and say, water only today. And your flesh will say, no, you're that guy that told you that, he's a fanatic. He's crazy. And you'll think you'll measure yourself real, real wonderful until you take that particular leg and start implementing it. 1997, I met Pastor Dave. March, I come back and I said, this is it. And then in October of 97, there was a lot of we you know, at the beginning we were a lot bigger than we are now. You know that, right? This is what revival does for you. It shakes the pudding out of you. And we had a whole bunch of guys, and it wasn't hardly nothing that, I don't know who was calling for it, but we had, every Saturday there was a whole bunch of guys in the drive up to the parking lot, and they'd come in here, and of course we did have some donuts and stuff afterwards, but the guys would be all around the altar and it'd fill up, and we'd have a bunch of men, and it was amazing, and it was like, it was hipping and hopping, and it was like, woo. And I said, we're going to have revival. Gary came in 98, and he came back, went to told Dave, if we don't have revival, they're going to have revival before us. Because they're headed somewhere. Huh? Just good fellowship, Candy said. Because all these guys, I thought, man, we're filling up. We got a bunch of guys. And we took a bunch of them. We took 13 of them up to on a Greyhound bus with another church. These guys were all here. And we said, man. And we went up to to Washington, the mall, and there was a million men there. And we got off and we marched over the Potomac, went right by Lincoln Memorial, walked all the way down in front of the Capitol building, and we were some of the first. We were there like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the dew's falling on us, and I'm thinking there's only a few hundred people here right now. There's not going to be a million men. And I doze off. You can't sleep, you know, with laying on the ground. And then I wake up and I turn around and there's a million men there. A million men. It's 2 miles all the way back to the Lincoln Memorial, and it's full of people. Through the night, they'd come in for those big buses. We took a bunch of guys, 13. I got a picture on the wall, and they all signed it. And we were hipping and hopping, and we were talking about revival in 97 and the glory of God. But do you know what? Why is it that we haven't had it so far? We're going to, and we're getting closer to things like, and when I say Peter's shadow and you all rejoice with me, I'm not building this man up. This Peter's shadow thing is for all of us. You're all to suspect. That's going to happen wherever. That's like Homer said, that's kingdom of God. But we kind of thought, hey, based on how excited all these guys are and how the church is filling up. But then we began to employ every pillar, fasting, praying in tongues. And sometimes when you think you're ready, oh, put me in, coach, I'm ready. Twenty-seven years later, there's only two men still standing, Homer Betancourt and Bronc Flint. I don't know if any of the others are in some remote place serving God. I don't know. I know three or four of them at least, divorced their wives, and families broke up. One went to prison, others living in alcoholism and this and that and the other. Another one in gross perversion. All those guys thought they were ready, put me in. Well, they fell. No, what was in them, the program that was in them, was working in them even when they thought they were in stardom. Now, most of you are a lot further along than that dramatic example that I'm giving. But still, why is there no fullness yet? Because he knows that with each fast, something that could be incredibly still standing there as a rogue enzyme on the inside might take you out. Now, fasting, we didn't even get to Matthew 17. There, that's the other side. It destroys doubt, right? One, it mortifies the flesh. That's Matthew 9. Matthew 17 is they couldn't cast it out. And Jesus said, this kind comes out not but by prayer. This kind of what? Subtle unbelief comes out by, you know, I'm not doing any line-on-line teaching. I'm just skipping a big stone, but it's good. Are you guys warm? Are you okay? Everybody good? It's just me. Hallelujah. But them guys, they thought, they didn't know that 11, why did Homer and I make it? Because we did the message. We did all four limbs. You can mortify down and think everything's all right, and then you go into another fast, and then something else comes up. Usually it's not, especially at our stage, it's not so much. I mean, there may be some people in here, there may be some men, and I don't want to say any married men, because then you get wives ready to kill them, but there may be some men in here that's still looking at stuff. and there may be some people. But usually this far along, I think most of that still has gone. But the dying of self-exaltation, of my way first, or yelling at your wife, and not yelling, but just treating her like Christ treats the church. He's going all the way down. Why? Because he wants us to have waters to swim in. Amen? Hallelujah. Fasting is also, it'll mortify. It mortifies. It mortifies. And I'll tell you the other thing too about it is Isaiah 58 says that then you'll hear his voice. I've never ever, when I go through a fast and come out on the other side, there's two things. The clarity of his voice and the peace just gets magnified. Now, my born again spirit has peace, but it's something about fasting that strips the flesh, mortifies the flesh, and the peace just comes to a shining light. It just feels so good. Hallelujah. There are times, this sounds crazy, but for just a little while, you kind of are remorseful when you do come off the fast because you're feeling like that felt so good. And sometimes it just feels good for your body to be, especially if you've been feeding it real good for about 4 or 5 days, like during July 4th and stuff. You feel like it feels good to be empty. Hallelujah. Somebody's saying, that's not what I'm wanting right now. I'm not wanting to empty. But don't put your eggs all in fasting. I know a guy that just fasts and fasts and fasts, and he has notable miracles, but his doctrine's not all that great in some areas. He lives in another country, and he has some incredible. Don't take one limb, and that's all you focus on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. What haven't we? Word. Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I seen one guy of those 13 guys that left. Well, there's 13 minus 2. One of those guys that really got messed up later, he had fast. He actually did 2 or 3 40s. But he wouldn't get into the word. He wouldn't get into the word. If we're going to equip ourselves for this last day outpouring, we need all four limbs. Meditation of the word is one part of the word, and then confession and proclaiming the word. Proclaiming the word and then praying in the Holy Ghost. See, we've seen a progression take place even from the days that I began in 97. Pastor Dave is my pastor, and he will be my pastor until I leave. And I have other men that I look to as pastors in that sense, but I mean the original man that I'm standing here today. And I do him so much honor to say I'm standing here today because of that dear man. But here's something. If we reconcile this, we'd have to reconcile. Let me preface it like this. Word is precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. So you build on the previous revelation and you take and bring it forward in the Holy Spirit by praying in tongues and by word. You build on that, and the revelation continues to grow to you personally and then to the church corporately, getting us ready to go into this great outpouring. So based on the progression, did you know? I'm going to stand back here. And Harry, you don't throw something at me from over there, because I can duck over here. Now we're standing on all of those wonderful things, how to get there, that Pastor Dave put in us, for many of us, and those who have read the book. But did you know that if he came back today, now he knows more than all of us put together, right? But if he came back today with no more than the knowledge that he had before he started having challenges. Now, I'll tell you this. He's gone to some places in the presence of God and seen some visions and worked in the gifts of the Spirit in a way that I've yet to come to. But having said that, in all due respect, because of how, and this is just teaching you, how that revelation grows from one to the next to the next. If he came back like he was before he had any challenges and didn't have the download of heaven, he'd have some catching up to do. He'd have, and it wouldn't take him long, but I'm talking about in revelation knowledge. One of the great keystones that have come to the church, to us, in the last 5 or 6 years is the 1 John series. 21 lessons. It took a lot. It took all. Maybe not all, because we're still growing, but it took a lot of the gray out of our gospel. When I first came in, I'm not saying this is Dave's fault or anybody that was part of the, I'm just saying where I was at. When I came in 97, 27, 8 years ago, I'd come back and I started that journey praying in tongues, fasting, reading the word, worship, and some of them were shorter than others. But I would read those triplicate passages. I'd read those triplicate passages in Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians that all say almost the exact same words, but to three different churches, that if you do these particular sins, if you practice these, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then the Holy Spirit came on Gary. Homer could have probably just about taught it too, because he was so much into 1 John. But the Lord brought it to Gary to come forward and take 21 services and methodically teach. And 1 John is this. When you boil it down, it says a lot of things, but one thing it emphatically does, it defines who's born again and who's not born again. If a man say, I love God, and walks in darkness, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 27 years ago, I don't know what, I don't even know what I was doing with those. I'd read those, and we were reading them like 50 times. I'd read those, but I think back, there wasn't that gross sin in me, but I would have tolerated certain people being in the church. Not that I'm going to throw out anybody, but I might have made excuses for them. Like some live-ins. And there was some of that. And we weren't promoting them to the stage or anything, but my natural senses would have said, maybe would have thought, yes, they've been living together for a few years, but they're just a carnal Christian. Because she cries at the altar and they worship God. And church, are you saved? We're 1 John saved. We haven't become mean or legalistic. But it took the gray out. My things that I would have tolerated a little bit in different things, and it started changing me. And I said, "Oh my God!" And it was hard for me because I had to go back and say, "Wait a minute, I was dedicating babies, or would have been willing to dedicate the little ones in living couples when they would come." And I had to, then it started praying in tongues, and it started changing before 1 John series came along. But 1 John series just took and bleached everything out and defined it. And somebody said, "Oh no, Pastor," because I mean, there would be people, I don't want to get into details too much, but I mean, I'd let certain people do at least sometimes clean the church that was in a live-in situation. Later, I realized I can't do that no more. They did get married and he got saved. But listen, why do pastors allow ushers to take up offerings and people to be on the stage? And because their gospel's not white and black, it's gray. 1 John took the what? And we as a movement came forward, not just this church, but Tulsa and Dayton. And because otherwise is she born again? Well, yes. Listen, I don't care if they speak in tongues. Well, Pastor, they got to be born. No, listen, I'm going to go with the Word of God, okay? If they've been living together for 4 or 5 years, God's Word says that they're habitually sinning. Well, I just think, okay, well, listen, how much are you willing to, how far are you willing to, if you're going to give that allowance that they're living together, but they're born again, but they're just backslidden or not. Okay, let's just kind of deduce then. Let's start. Okay. What about the homosexuals and the lesbians that say they're born again? Well, that's gross and that's perverted. You can go to hell just as fast for fornication and adultery as you can two men sleeping in the same bed together. It don't matter. Either way, it's just... So you got to give them. Maybe they're just born again. I don't care. I'm not going to be mean to anybody. But here's where you get in gross error. Let's walk in love. Oh, we're going to walk in love. We're going to bring them in and we're going to love them and say, here's a way out of this. But if you do this, past born again, you will quickly, if you were born again, coming in and you get born again and you start that again, that new nature will die quickly. It will die quickly. Because you cannot walk in darkness and light at the same time. Well, what brought Gary to 1 John series? What brought us to the enlightenment that we are 27 years later? Continuing to pray in tongues, read the word, fast, worship. I don't care if y'all ain't hot. I am hot. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you have a need in your body, you may not be anybody, but I can feel him starting to shift a little bit here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. If you have a need in your body, come on down here right now and stand. If you want to believe God, even for somebody, you could do that. But I wouldn't think about it too much. I'd just come and stand, and I'm just going to pray for you. So come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. The rest of you stand with us and let's worship God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Those of you that are watching, I want you to set yourself in agreement with us. But I also want you to get ready to receive. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Worship with us for just a moment. Harry, lead us in something. I wouldn't miss this line. And please don't ask me to pray for you afterwards. I will, but under protest. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I belong to you.
Hallelujah. Intercessors that want to, you know who you are, come and stand with me, please, and stand down here. Just hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Not the volume of my voice or my ecstaticness of any emotional, but right now, can we all say this together? And those of you watching, Jesus, you are the healer. You've paid the price. And I expect a change in my mortal body, instantaneous. Something happens now, and it continues to change. I receive this by faith the moment that hands are laid on me, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Don't ever give up. That's my word to you, young couple, in the name of Jesus. He's the one that restores hope and peace and life and grace. Don't ever give up. We will never give up. In Jesus' name, I release the power of God into your body. And I release the power of God for a miracle to take place. Whatever needs to change them, in Jesus' name, I release the power of God. Your glory, Jesus. Your glory, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be made manifest by the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The virtue of the Lord, right now, receive it. Let it be done and manifest in you right now by the power of His Spirit. In Jesus' name, receive that healing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I speak to the camera and to the people at home in the name of Jesus. We release from here, from this epicenter of of glory and power go in through the camera. In Jesus' name, receive the healing power of God. Let there be testimonies right after this service of the power of God flowing into your body, into your feet, into your legs, into your back, into your shoulders, internal organs. In Jesus' name, ringing of ears. I command eyesight to change, hopelessness to go. In Jesus' name, we release the power of God into the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking for this miracle now in the name of Jesus. And I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive with my brother in the name of Jesus total restoration of these kidneys and total restoration of these eyes. Lord, we thank you that he'll run, and we don't have to talk you into this, but we know that he'll spend the last several decades of his life running the earth, giving God the glory and preaching the gospel as an evangelist on fire. So in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God into these eyes. Eyes be opened and kidneys be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, let him wake up in his bed one morning soon and see the light of day. I release the power of God into him in the name of Jesus. And I command it done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This great work in your body, Rosie, is manifest and completely, totally resolved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mama, receive the life of God. Be healed in your body. Kidneys be healed. Be restored by the God who is our healer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Amen. Okay, I've carried this one all day. Okay, so this one's charged. Okay, so in Jesus' name, we release the power of God into this. And I command that as this is given to her mom, that Lord, that healing, I just know that she believes. And when she believes, you'll do whatever she's believing for. And in the name of Jesus, I call her mom restored and years added to her life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me catch Barbara first. She's right there. Yes. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling his presence so much it's on me. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. I believe that leg is totally healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to... Abby, what you doing, baby? Huh? Gallbladder. Okay. Is it okay right now? Okay, it's okay now. This is my granddaughter. She's been having some gallbladder attacks. I call it healed right now. Nana, you put your hand on her belly. In the name of Jesus. I can too. This is my grandbaby. In the name of Jesus, I call you completely healed. I call this thing completely dissolved. I call these gallstones come out in the name of Jesus. You gallbladder, I command you perfectly restored by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, in Jesus' name, gallbladder be completely healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's got a good daddy. She was having a bad one the other day. He come up, laid down beside of her, laid hands on her. She said, he prayed like Papa prayed, and it left. Now this is going to be a complete healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let this go all the way through your body. We drive this out in the name of Jesus. A difference as of today in the name of Jesus. I command it done. I command it done. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Bob. Yes. Lift your hands. God, we're going to send them. Let the Holy Spirit go after them in the name of Jesus. Let the angels of the Lord be employed. And in the name of Jesus, not one of them is lost. But in the name of Jesus, we set ourselves in agreement with this righteous man. We call all these children, all these family members, born again by your Spirit. Send forth your labors, Father, into their lives. That there be a great call into the harvest for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. We love all of you. Thank you for being here. Stay in His presence through the week, now, whenever. Milk, just continue to pull on God for Him to come. We are in the edge waters of a great outpouring. Let's be the catalyst to make it happen. Not everybody, none of us, I should say, is the way I want to express, none of us are totally perfect in all of these limbs that I listed, and there's more in a certain sense. There's just waiting on God and co-laboring with the Holy Spirit that comes out of these. But do your best to stay active in the Word. And when you can, fast. Pray all you can in tongues. And stay in an attitude of worship. We bless you, Father. We thank you for all of these. Let the power of your Spirit and the glory of God rest upon our family, the Family Prayer Center, and all of the extended family. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We're still listening. This is the fourth lesson from Pastor Jim on End Time Prophecy. We'll be listening again tonight if you want to be with us to watch, or you can watch online. But we appreciate everybody that can come. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Amen.